In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Blessed Feast of Pentecost. And as many of you guys know, the Feast of Pentecost is one of the major feasts in the Coptic Church. And it's not just a significant feast for us, but really for all Christians, because this is the birthday of the church. And even though it's the birthday of the church, though, the Feast of Pentecost actually dates back to the Old Testament, right? That's where its origins are found. So after the Passover event, where God saved the Israelites from Egypt, they arrived at Mount Sinai 50 days from that. After that. And that's the Pentecost in the Old Testament, right? Pentecost just means 50th day in Greek. So after being saved from slavery, sin, and death, they celebrated Pentecost at Mount Sinai. So it was a big deal because not only was Mount Sinai where God was present and gave Israel the call to holiness through the law, but it was also a culmination of all the Exodus events that happened. Right, so arriving at Mount Sinai was the completion of the redemption. So obviously, it was a time for rejoicing, a time for celebration, a time for thanksgiving for the Israelites. And even to this day, this is one of the three major feasts that the Jews celebrate as a reminder of what God did for them. As a matter of fact, they actually celebrated it last week. Anyways, over time, as part of this feast, the Jews offered the first fruits of their grain harvest to God as a way to thank him for his provisions and what he's done for them. It essentially became over time a harvest feast, meaning a feast where the first fruits of the grain offering that they collected were then gathered and offered to God as an expression of gratitude for all that he has done for them. But in the Old Testament, all feasts were symbols of what was fulfilled in the New Testament. Okay, so in the New Testament, we see the feasts being fulfilled in a more powerful, more spiritual, in a more meaningful way. So 50 days after our own Passover from death, sin, and slavery, we also celebrate the Pentecost, but obviously a spiritual one. Just as God redeemed the Israelites in the Passover and was present among them on Mount Sinai after 50 days and giving them a call to holiness, he too also redeemed us through the death and the resurrection of Christ, which is a Passover. Our Passover is present among us in Pentecost through his Holy Spirit, and is also calling us to a life of holiness, right? It's a mirror image of what happened in the Old. So just like in the Old Testament, Pentecost marks the end of the journey from slavery to communion with God, the New Testament Pentecost also marks both the culmination of our own journey from death to life, but also the start of a life to holiness as well. Okay? And just as the Israelites responded to God's faithfulness by bringing him the first fruits of their grain harvest, we too are called to respond in a way by bringing the fruit of the resurrection in our life as an offering to God. Because like we said, Pentecost is a harvest feast, one where we offer God the first fruits of the harvest as an act of thanksgiving. But for us, what was sown wasn't grain. Okay, what was sown was Christ himself. What was sown was Christ himself. And what we harvest are the fruits of the divine life that he gave us. So that's why he says in John 12, he says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Okay. So in his death, he sowed the seeds of the divine life in humanity. In his resurrection, he broke through the ground, right, becoming the first fruit of the harvest that would continue through us. And then in Pentecost, we harvest the fruit of his resurrection through the gift of the Holy Spirit working in us. So Pentecost is a day when the life that was and is in Christ begins to flow in his body, the church, and by extension, us as well. Okay. And we see the impact of that right away. So after the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost, the disciples who were all scared became empowered to go out and preach without fear. So much so that St. Peter converted, with one sermon, converted 3,000 people. Okay. So in many ways, those 3,000 souls were the first fruits of the spiritual harvest that Christ sowed 50 days before in his death and his resurrection. And now the disciples are harvesting that and offering it back to him. Okay. After the Holy Spirit, we also see all those who were confused were giving understanding. So people who were confused as to what was happening and how they heard the disciples in their own language and all that, the Holy Spirit worked in Peter to explain to people God's plan of salvation that Christ fulfilled. So in many ways, clarity of what was previously hidden from the world was the first fruit of the reconciliation seeds that Christ sowed 50 days earlier through his death and his resurrection, and the disciples now are harvesting it and offering it back to him. Okay. After the Holy Spirit descended, we also see all those who were divided were dwelling together in unity, in peace, and in love. Right? Acts 2 says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and after breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people." So they're all together as one. There's no division, no jealousy, no hatred, nothing of that nature at all. Everything was communal. So in many ways, unity was the first fruit of the seeds of divine love that Christ sowed 50 days earlier in his death and his resurrection, that now the church was harvesting and offering it back to him. So the apostles, who were once afraid and scared and confused, are now filled with wisdom, with love, with courage, because that's the fruit of Christ's risen life being real and active in their life. This is what Pentecost is really all about. It's about harvesting the life of Christ in us through the Holy Spirit working in my life, and then offering my life back to him by the way I live it, with others, with myself, and with God himself as well. So when we talk about Pentecost being a harvest feast, we're not just talking about something that happened at some point in history and how other people celebrate it, but we're talking about something that's meant to happen to us now. Okay? Because Pentecost isn't just, you know, a historical event, but it's a personal calling. Okay? It's a calling to look at our own lives and ask, what fruit is the Holy Spirit producing in me? What is being harvested from the seeds that Christ planted in his death and his resurrection? And the fruit of that may look different for each of us, depending on what God is working in us and what season of life we might be in. Right? For some, it might be the fruit of patience, of kindness, of love, of peace, of joy, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. Right? For others, it might be hope, it might be courage, it might be faith, it might be service, it might be the seeds of repentance or the harvest of repentance. Okay? Whatever it is, Pentecost reminds me that I have been given the Holy Spirit not just to feel something, but to bear something in me. Okay? Something that is seen and felt, something that's life-giving, something that to offer God by the way I live my life. But this fruit of the Spirit is not meant to stay hidden inside of me, okay? Because the first place the harvest of the resurrection should show is in how I live with the people around me. The fruit of Christ's life in me isn't just a personal thing, but it's relational, right? It's meant to be tasted by everyone that I interact with every day, be it my family, my friends, my coworkers, even strangers. Okay. So then the question becomes, what is it like to be around me? What kind of fruit do others experience through me? What, when people interact with me, do they taste love or bitterness? Do they find patience or anxiety? Do they walk away encouraged or wounded by what I tell them? Because if the Holy Spirit is truly alive in me, then something of Christ should be flowing out of me. Something fragrant, something that nourishes others, something that is life-giving. It should be a fruit that feeds others, that reflects him, and gives off his fragrance. You know when you have a good fruit and you smell it? Right? You could tell right away, like, if you have mango from Egypt, you can smell it from a mile away. Right? So if I have the fruit of Christ in me, people will smell it from a mile away. Okay? So if by one fruit death entered into the world in the beginning, then also by the fruit that Christ plants and the Holy Spirit waters in me, life could be given to others. So when I live my life in that way, I'm living Pentecost every day because I'm harvesting the fruit of the resurrection and offering it back to him. But again, the fruit of the Spirit isn't just about what I offer to others, but it's about what God wants to give me personally as well. He wants to give me peace in the middle of my storms. He wants to give me joy that doesn't depend on my circumstances. He wants to give me faith in the midst of my trials. He wants to give me hope that doesn't fade away. He wants to give me victory regardless of how many losses life gives me. In Christ dying and resurrecting, he planted hope, he planted joy, he planted peace, and the assurance of God's love for me. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit waters these seeds, they begin to grow. They begin to grow in me. They begin to give me healing and restore me and renew me as well. Okay? Those seeds begin to change my own life and the lens in which I see my life through. But it's not about potential, it's about participation. Okay? Christ planted, But it's important for me to participate in that as well. I have to stay connected to the vine, to abide in him, and to allow his life to flow through mine. He is the vine and we are the branches. And without him, we can't bear any fruit. So the seeds are there. The rain has come through the Holy Spirit. But the harvest depends on whether I show up to collect it and offer it back to him or not. So am I actually living in the peace that he sowed? Am I tasting the joy, or does it still feel out of reach for me? Do I know the hope deep within me, or is it just something maybe I talk about? Do I have faith in what he actually did for me or not? Because if I have faith, then my mindset, my heart, my life should reflect what I have faith in. When in faith I accept the reality of what Christ sowed and what the Holy Spirit watered, then I get to enjoy the harvest in my life, the harvest of the resurrection in my life, and offering it back to him as an offering of gratitude for everything that he's done for me. Right? So when I live my life in that way, then I'm living the Pentecost every day because I'm harvesting the fruit of the resurrection and offering it back to him. In addition to others and to myself, the fruit of the Spirit also goes beyond those two areas, but it touches my own relationship with God as well. At the heart of Pentecost is communion. God giving himself to us through his Spirit, so we can live more fully with him, in him, and for him as well. Harvesting the fruit of the resurrection isn't just about doing good things or going into becoming a better person, but it's about becoming more intimately united with the one who planted the seed in me to begin with. I harvest the fruit of the divine relationship every single time I open up my heart to him in prayer, every single time I hunger for his word, every single time I become aware of his presence in my life, every time I become more consistent and intentional in my pursuit of him, by trusting him, by surrendering to him, by loving him more deeply, by partaking of him in the Eucharist. Each time I do eat these things, I'm harvesting the fruit of love that he planted in me through his death and his resurrection, and offering it back to him, not out of obligation, but out of love. Okay? So when I live my life in that way, I'm living the Pentecost every day. Why? Because I'm harvesting the fruit of the resurrection and offering it back to him. So as you can see, in dying and resurrecting, Christ was planting the seed of his divine life in us. In Pentecost, the Holy Spirit waters these seeds to bring fruit in us. The fruit of the resurrection in us. And now it's on us to harvest the fruit of the resurrection and offering it back to him as a continual Pentecost, whether it's with myself, whether it's with others, or whether it's with God himself. Okay. I'm going to end with this quote from St. Irenaeus, and he says, "And like parched ground, which yields no harvest unless it receives moisture, we who were once like a water tree could never lived and bore fruit without this abundant rainfall from above. Now through the Spirit, the image and inscription of the Father and the Son have been given to us. The image and inscription of God the Father and the Son have been given to us. And it is our duty to use what was committed to our charge and make it yield a rich profit for the Lord." So I pray that in the celebration of Pentecost doesn't end today, but our life becomes a continual Pentecost where we are harvesting the fruit of Christ's resurrection through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, and offering it back to God in gratitude for everything that he's done for us and continues to do for us and will continue to do for us. And glory be to God forever.